inside this morning. I just want you to know that regardless of what happened to you this week, God is going to show up today and he wants you to listen. And as you listen, just count it a privilege as the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of God inside of us, if we have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit would begin to talk to us. And when the Holy Spirit talks to us, we have a choice. We can either obey, ignore, or disobey. My desire is that you would choose to obey the Holy Spirit this morning, whatever God wants for your life. God does not bring shame. God does not bring condemnation in our lives. But God brings love and encouragement and focus. In the past 3 weeks, Luke began the first Sunday in July. We've been talking about protecting our identity. We began in June with claiming our identity, and now we've been talking about protecting our identity. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, Dave Whitmer will be here, and he'll begin the series, Walking in Our Identity. So it's all about our identity. And remember, some of you remember from last week, the most Googled word of 2015 was identity. And so we've been focusing on identity. And in this month, we've been focusing on the book of Nehemiah. So in your Bibles, if you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Life is full of battles. Amen? Maybe some of you aren't in the battlefield, but I assure you, it's full of battles. And Nehemiah was in the midst of a battle. We want to focus on the theme, staying focused regardless of the enemy's distractions. Staying focused regardless of the enemy's distractions. The wall was finished. Only the gates had to be hung before the real celebration could begin. There is a feeling of excitement over the huge accomplishment. That's when the enemy focuses his attacks on the leader, Nehemiah. Like, we kind of let down our guard, we breathe deep and say, that's finished. Now I can just relax. And the enemy doesn't like us to relax and just think that everything's all right. We need to stay focused every day. We need to encounter Jesus in our life every day. And so the enemy began his attacks on the leader Nehemiah. Why now? Because Nehemiah would least expect it right now. Nehemiah's defenses, not Jerusalem's, are about to be tested. And I'm here to tell you that Satan will try everything possible to set us up for failure. In your bulletin, you can fill those out. The outline is in your bulletin. And there's some scriptures I won't get to, but at least you have the scriptures up here. You can copy them down and look them up this week. I just encourage you to review this week, get into Nehemiah, what we talked about this week, because it's a lot to take in one setting. And so just in your quiet time, begin just thinking through what does Nehemiah have to say to me this week, not just today. And so we must constantly be on guard. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, here's what the Bible says. It's up there. It says, it's a command. Be on your guard, exclamation point. I would put that in there, but be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. It's just a command. Like, if you want to succeed in this life, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. It's all about faith. It's all about our faith will be tested. It's all about holding on to faith. It's all right to pray to God each day, Lord, increase my faith today. I don't want to waver. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So we've got to have faith. So why not just ask God, would you increase my faith today? Whatever area of my life that I'm really facing battles, increase my faith, because I choose to trust in you today, Lord. I choose to trust in what you desire for my life today. Do not try to live life on your own strength, because we'll fail. Just like we were singing this morning, we need God. We need Jesus. We need him every day. We desperately need him. There's a big difference between God asking us to slow down and rest and Satan trying to slow us down from completing God's work that we've been called to do. We're all called. So life is full of distractions. I have them, you have them, we all have them. What are we going to do with these distractions? It just occurred to me, many times when I choose to sit down or kneel or just walk, just spend time in prayer, guess what happens? I'm sure you face the same thing. Distractions. Oh, you got to do this today and this today and this. So I suggest you, when that happens to you, just have a sheet of paper and write down all those things and say, okay, I'm done with that now. Let's go on. Let's go on. Have you been sidetracked lately? God wants us to stay focused on kingdom work. He's calling us to do kingdom work, you know. But Satan will continue to place obstacles in our path to distract us, such as, here's some examples, and you can fill in others, keeping us from reading God's word, distractions, obstacles. A second one, keeping us busy with activities. Busy, 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 busy. Instead of just stop and wait and listen. Number three, keeping us from spending time with our family. God works with families. When you get together as families, it's powerful. Some of you have had a rough life, and so you might have to adopt some families. But, you know, God works with the family. Our church is a church family. It's a family. So if you have no family, you have family. Okay? You have family. God's people are one big family. In heaven, we're going to experience a huge family. All different cultures, all different. There's no denominations in heaven. I'm sorry, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's only one thing in heaven. That's believers in Jesus. It's the kingdom of God. We're all joined together. Distractions. A fourth one is exchanging our devotional time with TV time and social media time. And a fifth distraction is texting each other in place of talking to God. Distractions. And you can fill in the blank with others. Examples. In the Bible, in Nehemiah chapter 6, I'd like to read, beginning with verse 1. Nehemiah 6. When the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Gesem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, and so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are planning to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. And I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Verse 10. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Medahedabel, who was shut in at his home. And he said, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. And so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Verse 16. When all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Era, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Notice how often the word intimidate is used? Quite often. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit to teach us and give us fresh manna from your word. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to open up your word to us now, that we would leave here today saying, we have all met with the Lord, the King Almighty, Jesus, the center of our life. And Father, I choose to decrease so that you can increase now. Take over all that you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's interesting that as we look at Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah stayed focused by three things. Resisting temptation. That looks like an animal I would want to encounter. But anyway, resisting temptation. And the Bible says in our text in verses 1 through 9, some of that, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, come, let us meet together. But they were scheming to harm me. They were all trying to frighten us. But I prayed. Now strengthen my hands. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Strengthen our hands. Let's say that together. Lord, strengthen our hands. Let's make it practical this week. Lord, strengthen our hands this week, whatever we're going to face. We don't know, but God does. And we need God this week in our lives. Just as Nehemiah needed the Lord. Nehemiah sensed the trap and the invitation to meet in Oh No, so he said, Oh No, to Oh No. I will not come down. I will not be distracted from God's work. God had given Nehemiah a spirit of discernment to know that this was a trap. One of the signs of maturity is the ability to say no. Even though we'll face all kinds of battles and people will bring condemnation in our lives, and they'll say, you have to say yes. We need you for this. And I say to you, what is God telling you to do? Check in with God first. And if God says, hey, you got a green light for this, then go for it. If God says, stop, I don't want you to go there, then that would be a no. Listen to the Lord, you'll always be right. Listen to people, you won't always be right. But listen to God. Listen to God this week. Whatever God is doing in your life, I just encourage you to listen to him. And if you feel weak and powerless and you don't think you can handle whatever the situation is, say, Lord, I need your power and strength this week for whatever you're calling me to do. God always comes through. He's dependable. He's reliable. He's our sure foundation. He's our solid rock. Ask God and the Holy Spirit how to answer people's requests and demands, especially of your time and resources. Nehemiah said no four times. Rumors were being spread about Nehemiah's intentions in rebuilding the wall, such as leading a revolution or desire to become Judah's next king. Of course, the source of these rumors is unknown. There's some scriptures that we want to look at. I know you're saying, that's a lot of scripture. It's all right. It's all right. The more of the word that's in your mind, the less the enemy can really attack you in that area because you have the word. Jesus always answered the enemy with the word. It is written. It is written. It wouldn't it be a joy to get up in the morning and say, and you got a verse on your mind, say, it is written. And you just got it. Memorization is hard work, but you know, how do you know certain verses in the Bible? You say it over and over and over. It's part of you. It's part of you. I encourage you to memorize those scriptures that really grip you where you're at in your walk in this life. Romans 12:11. Here's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. One verse here. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And then 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Here's what the Bible says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You know, it's the lion gets its prey by fear. The roar of a lion can be heard, I don't know how far, probably miles away. But anyway, that's what it causes, fear. Fear. The enemy wants to bring fear in our lives. And God says that I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Just remember that, of power. Ephesians 5, 11 through 13. Here's what the Bible says. Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13. Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. We have that light. Why not expose it? Why not let that light shine on people so they can look at us and say, whoa, where have you been hanging out? What's different about you? And then you have your opportunity. You know, if we have the joy of the Lord, we have opportunities. If we are sad and downcast, we lose those opportunities. So that's why you need to hang out with God. Yeah, you can be going through tough times and everything, but there's a reason why the Bible says, in everything give thanks, because God knows what he's doing. We don't, but God does. Genesis 3, verse 1, way back at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It starts at the beginning. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Just going to constantly, it's our mind. Do you want God to capture your mind or the other guy? Who's going to be in control of our mind? Because our mind, whatever we're thinking, it goes down to our heart. And we really need to get rid of sometimes a lot of baggage and experience the freedom in Christ. But it begins in the mind. There's a reason why part of the armor of God says put on the helmet of salvation. Because we got to protect our mind. We got to know who we are in Christ. Jesus has fought the battles. He knows what he's doing. And he's given us examples and armor and equipment. And if we don't use that equipment, then we're not doing it God's way. There's equipment that he wants to put on. There's a reason why we have to have the belt of truth. And there's a reason why we have to have the shield of faith. There's a reason for all of that in Ephesians chapter 6. In Psalm 27:1, the Bible says this. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The whole psalm is good, but I'm just going to read the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Can you say that with me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, there you go. I'm giving you a jump start. You got Psalm 27:1 this week. Just think about that every day this week. I know, I'm probably going off in the deep end. But anyway, I want you to think about it. Think about the Word. Because the Word is alive. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's active. The Word of God. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are unaware of his schemes. He's trying his best. And then 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. The enemy will pull out all the stops to try to hinder us from serving the Lord through the use of fear, worry, and doubt. Fear, worry, and doubt. But God has it all. He's got all of this under control. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He talks about it. He knows. He knows we need his help. And I just encourage you, if you've been trying to do things your own way, this is what gets God's attention. When we cry out to God and we humble ourselves and we say, I surrender. That's it. Is it easy? No. But does it get God's attention? Yes. Because we're saying, I don't have the answer, you do, and I'm surrendering my life to you today, and whatever you desire to do in and through me, I welcome that. I want all that you have for me today. 1 John 4:4, if you haven't underlined this, it'd be one to underline. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Short verse, way back at the end of the Bible. Here's what it says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater. Say greater. Greater than the one who is in the world. Wow. We have it. We have the person who has won for us. And we need to join up with him. Nehemiah prayed for the strength of God to complete the job he had been called to do. The things of the world are never more important. Oh no. Remember oh no? The things of the world, oh no, are never more important than the things of God. If that oh no, O-N-O, helps you to remember that, oh no, what am I doing? Then that'll bring us back to reality. Then we know. We've slipped up. We've got to get back in the right path. So, what broken wall does God want you to rebuild? What is broken in your life that you need help in rebuilding? I don't know, but God does. In your situation right now, what is it that God wants you to be doing? Have you allowed distractions and other things to take over instead of focusing on the one thing that God has called you to do? Maybe you've never asked God, what have you called me to do in this season of my life? That might be the first question to ask him. Lord, what are you calling me to do in this season of my life? And then listen. Sometimes we do too much speaking and we got to learn to listen to God. And when you listen to God, he'll begin to tell us. Examples of things that cause us to have broken walls. You know, we all have them. Here's some examples of our broken walls. We have bitterness. We have pride. We have revenge. We have unbelief. We have anger. We have unforgiveness. Apathy. And then some others, shame. Unwillingness to forgive ourselves. Let me repeat that. That hits us right between the eyes many times. An unwillingness to forgive ourselves. Oh, we messed up so bad, I can't forgive myself. That's a broken wall that needs fixed. If God forgives us, then we need to learn to forgive ourselves and condemnation. We are all about doing things God's way, and I just want you to listen to this song now. It just, especially note the words and just take it all in.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released. The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom.
Back on. The second thing that Nehemiah stayed focused on was refusing trickery. Refusing trickery. The Bible says, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah. He said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple and let us close the temple doors. And I realized that God had not sent him. He had been hired to intimidate me so I would commit a sin by doing this. Nehemiah realized that it was not okay with God because it was contrary to the Word of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, people. When we're ready to do something, if the Holy Spirit gives us a check, like, are you sure you want to do this? What does God want? What is God's desire? If it's contrary, then the answer is no, it's not okay. It's not okay to do that. It was a violation of God's word for Nehemiah, who was not a priest, to be in an area reserved only for priests. Just look a couple of verses up in Numbers. We have a number here, but look a couple of them up. Numbers chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 3, verse 10. Appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary must be put to death. And then going back in Numbers to Numbers 3, same chapter, verse 38, the Bible says this. Moses and Aaron and his sons were to camp to the east of the tabernacle toward the sunrise in front of the tent of the meeting. They were responsible for the care of the sanctuary on behalf of the Israelites. Anyone else who approached the sanctuary was to be put to death. It was serious to God. And so, on the bottom there, are you where God wants you in your Christian life, or are you drifting? Drifting. If you're drifting, then I believe that you may have lost your focus. Because when you're drifting, you aren't guiding your life. You aren't allowing God to guide your life. And so, we've got to get out of the drifting mode and to be focused. To be focused on what God wants. Again, if you haven't asked him, just say, Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do in this situation? It's all right to ask God for help. Do you hear me? We need God. We need to ask him for help. Because we don't have the mind of God's. Yes, in Christ, we have the mind of Christ. But God has the whole picture. He knows what we can handle. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, the Bible puts it like this. Matthew 15, verse 14. Jesus said, leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And then Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The devil is trying to trick us by getting us involved in questionable things which ruin our witness. Questionable things which ruin our witness. Such as treating Sunday as just a regular weekday, cheating on taxes, being dishonest with work hours, doing things and being involved in things that God would not approve of. I just decided that, you know, there's really a fad out now, this Pokemon Go, you know, is affecting everyone. And I thought, why not do some research? So I did. I did some research. It was initiated by a guy in Japan. And here's back at the beginning. The Pokemon creator admits games are anti-Christian, aimed towards Satanists. That's the guy who began this. I have the article if you want to read it. But he had an interview with Time magazine, and he says that the games are tailored toward anti-Christian sentiment or Satanism. And then I have the whole interview here. So I won't go any further than that, but do your research. Be careful. There's a lot of weird things out there. And as I was reading through, doing Google search for Pokemon, it's amazing what's out there, all kinds of things. And you'll discover some things about the, quote, fad that's going on. You know, it's not really edifying the Lord. There's a lot of things going on there. So we have to be careful, because our priorities must be God's priorities. What does God want, really? The third thing that Nehemiah focused on was rejoicing in a triumphant God. Triumphant God. In verses 15 and 16, it says, "So the wall was completed in 52 days. When all the enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." Nehemiah completed rebuilding the wall and gates in 52 days, less than 2 months. Remember, he prayed for 4 months. So, only took less than 2 months to complete it. His focus was on prayer. Because Nehemiah was focused on doing God's work, let's go to the next one here. Because Nehemiah was focused on doing God's work and ignoring distractions, the enemy recognized that God was with them. When you hang out with God, the enemy will leave. He will run away, because when you hang out with God, you have the power of God. If you go up and say, "Lord, my day is so busy today, I don't have time for you today, I will fit it in my schedule whenever it works," then you're drifting. You're drifting. And so, Nehemiah recognized about the distractions. Their enemies were in awe of what God accomplished with these people. Just, what can God do in our lives if we give him the privilege of taking over? We have no idea. I have no idea who of you youth will be leaders in kingdom work, but I guarantee you that God has a destiny for all of you, and I believe that whatever you're doing, you're going to be a leader in kingdom work if you open yourselves up to God. Just remember that. Remember that. This is year 2016, July 24th. Remember that. Because that gives you an opportunity to say, "Lord, I never thought of it that way, but I believe that you are calling me to kingdom work. And what does that involve? What does that mean?" I don't know, but God does. And as you get, there's a reason why the Bible says, get close to God and he will get close to you. The closer you get to God, the more you know his heart. And when you know the heart of God, you're on the right direction. It's all about God opening his heart up to us. But we have to be willing to get close to him. How close are you to God today? Is he pretty distant? Is he out of the ballpark? Where is he in your life? The closer we get to God, the more intimate we become with him. It just simply means that Nehemiah believed God could help him overcome any obstacle. It's just whatever obstacle, Nehemiah believed that God is able. God is able. Say that with me. God is able. Say it again. God is able. One more time. God is able. Then you fill in the blank, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. One verse, verse 14. "But thanks be to God who always," I like the word always, "thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. And the next verse, I didn't have it up here, but we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We are the aroma of Jesus. And then Psalm 44, verse 5. Psalm 44, verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. One verse. Through you we push back our enemies. Did you get that? Through the Lord, through Jesus. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name, the name of Jesus, through your name we trample our foes. That's powerful. There's times we might want to throw in the towel, but as we allow God to overcome our obstacles, it's a beautiful picture of the power of God in a community. In a community. And so, I just had to think this week of all that God has done, all that what God wants to do, and I came across this week. It's just amazing. Remember when the children of Israel, they left Egypt, there were all these plagues and everything, they left Egypt, and Moses was leading them, and they got to the water, and then they started to complain and grumble, and they said, why did you lead us out here to die out here? We'd rather be back where we were. And Moses, I mean, it was not like there were a few people. Most people think it was between 2.5 million to 3.5 million people. We knew there were 600,000 men, but then there were wives and children, and roughly 2.5. Some people go on the high end. They say, well, it had to be at least 4 million. But for our sake, let's say there were 3 million. 3 million people. When the children of Israel were led by Moses to leave Egypt, there was a tremendous demonstration of God's willingness to use his power in the actual day-to-day activities of the people. But there they stood, 3 million people at the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14 says they crossed over the sea in one night. 3 million people, one night. Now, I taught math, high school math, and you start to figure a little bit, and you're saying, ain't going to happen, but then you start to figure out the power of God, and someone actually did that, and they said if they had gone over double-breasted, the line would have been 800 miles long, and it would have taken 35 days and nights, but they went over in one night. One night. Say one night. One night. That's what the Bible says. One night. The waters were parted, and they went on dry ground. God dried up the sea bottom at least a space of 3 miles wide, and they walked across that night 5,000 abreast. One night. The Israeli camp in the wilderness was two-thirds the size of Rhode Island. That's 750 square miles. God sent manna food from heaven each day to feed these people. That would be 1,500 tons of food each day just to keep them from starving. If they ate as much as we eat today, it would have taken two freight trains 1 mile long each day and cost $6 million a day. Just to give you an idea. I mean, we don't think that way, but this is what God did. The scripture says, God said to Moses, strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. It took 11 million gallons of water per day. Hauling it would have taken one freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long each day. Do you realize what happened? And God took care of them 14,600 days. You know, they were wandering around 40 years. They crossed over, but then they had to be fed, and they had to have water, and God covered it. He said, I got you covered. The total amount of food would have been 58,400,000 tons, and the water over 160 billion gallons. This is our God. We benefit so much by continually looking in the Bible and having our faith increase. That's amazing. Oh, by the way, you all know this. 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have to go to the laundromat. 40 years. How did that happen? I don't know. I believe. Do you believe? I'd like to finish this morning with just a little bit of what we talked about here. Nehemiah stayed focused by resisting temptation, by refusing trickery, and by rejoicing in the triumphant God, the God who is powerful. So I have some questions. Just invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to play a song or so. And I'm going to ask you some questions. And of God, remember I asked, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't say no, don't ignore, obey. Whatever God wants to do in your life, just lay it down at the altar this morning. We'll have some prayer teams, prayer people come up and pray with you if you need that. But I'm just inviting you. I'm just obeying God. God wants you. You know, when you hear something and it's God speaking to you, don't sit. Respond. Because this could be your day, July 24th, 2016, and God would get you headed the right direction and do something amazing in your life. And so just a few questions. What incredible thing is God trying to do in your life? Have you been allowing distractions to keep you from moving forward, doing what God wants you to do? If you desire prayer for God to provide a breakthrough in your life, come. Just invite you to come. Come. It's all about responding to God. Not me. It's about responding to God. So as they're singing here and playing music, I just invite you to come.